And I'm Robin. Welcome to East Lakes. We call this a church for everyone. And one of the things that Jesus encountered when he arrived here was people didn't see God that way. They saw him as a person that was sort of strict. And if you goofed up with him, you know, you maybe got one chance, maybe a second chance, but not another chance. And when Jesus came, people asked him what was God was like. He said, well, God looks like me. Look at me. He actually said, you know, if you've seen me, you've seen God. You've seen the Father. And so we're going to look at a story today about Jesus to find out why is it when God says everyone gets another chance? It's the big idea. And let's read through the story. Just grab your notes and read along with me. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in that region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass by. And Zacchaeus is one of those guys that has something eating at him. He's made some mistakes in his life. He doesn't feel very good about who he is. He's not proud of himself. He's a Jewish guy that lives at a time that Rome rules the world. And Rome is taxing all the different provinces and different countries that they've conquered. And Zacchaeus works for Rome. He's the head IRS guy. And he collects taxes. He extorts money from all of the people, his people. And he takes a huge slice for himself. And he's gotten really super, super rich. He has all kinds of money. But he can't wash away how he feels in his heart. His conscience still bothers him. He doesn't feel very good about himself. He's wondering if he sees Jesus, if he might get another chance. But there's an obstacle, of course, and there always seems like there's an obstacle. And yet he pushes through, which is kind of, because and I know a lot of times when I'm not feeling very good about myself, something's eating away at me. Is anything eating at you? And maybe it's big and it's a huge thing and it just seems like you've tried lots of different ways to make it go away and it won't. Or maybe, you know, like it's a small thing. Sometimes it's not a very big thing at all. It's just a small thing, but it just eats at you and eats at you and eats at you. You just can't shake it. And that's Zacchaeus. He thinks, well, maybe he must have heard some things about Jesus. Maybe Jesus is different. Maybe I could get another chance with him. And he immediately gets blocked. I don't know if anything's blocking you. Like, you want to go to God. You want to go to Jesus. You want to talk to him about what's eating away at you, but there's something blocking you. And he doesn't allow it. He runs up and he climbs this sycamore fig tree to get a glimpse. And is anything blocking you? You know, and it would probably take some effort on your part, a little bit of effort on your part to get past it. And he climbs up in this sycamore fig tree, and he's just hoping to get a glimpse of Jesus. He gets past the obstacle. And, of course, at East Lake Church, that's like a pretty good picture of us. We're like the sycamore fig tree. We want to be that place where all the obstacles get pushed away, and people just get a chance to see Jesus for themselves. What's he like? How would he treat me? Would he give me another chance? We say it's a church for everyone because anybody can go here. And the idea is that all the obstacles, all the religious stuff, all the judgmental stuff, political stuff, it's just all pushed aside and just a place where people can come and just see Jesus for themselves. So that's our story. Let's read a little bit more. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest at your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. Gosh, you know, I mean, you think about the story. I mean, he's just wanting to get a glimpse, you know, and Jesus doesn't even give him a chance to prepare. I mean, how would you feel if somebody said, hey, I'll be over in 5 minutes for lunch? You know, the first thing is my house clean? What is my bathroom like? You know, no chance to prepare. He doesn't give him any chance to get ready. And it's this really good picture of how Jesus is. He doesn't ask anybody to prepare. He doesn't ask anybody to get their life cleaned up. I mean, I guess he could have said, hey, me and my guys will be over in a couple hours. We'll give you a little chance to get ready. But he doesn't. He just says, I'm ready now if you're ready now. Anything eating at you, bothering you? It's been there for a while. And you're thinking, well, I'll talk to Jesus about that when I get this or that cleaned up, when I'm feeling better about myself, when I feel like I'm qualified to talk to Jesus about what's bothering me. Give me a chance at all. He just tells him, he says, I'll be right over there. And how does he know his name? I mean, there's no indication in the story that they've ever met, that he knows him. He just sees this guy up in a tree, and he calls him by name. You know, God knows your name personally. Imagine a lot of jerseys today. I don't see, it's great on Eastlake Church. Everybody shows up and they're very spiritual in their jersey. We even let Raider fans here, so it's a great church. And, but I mean, how would you feel if the quarterback of your favorite team, you know, you got a chance to go see the game, you know, and he walks up in the stands and he calls you by name. Like, what the heck? You know, wouldn't the game completely change for you? Your favorite NFL guy walks up in the stands, he's all decked, he says, calls you by name. Never met him before, calls you. You'd be thinking, how's he know my name? I mean, wouldn't it make you feel pretty special? A little more than a fan? Jesus is not recruiting fans. He knows your name. In fact, let me read something in the Bible. This is just grace. It's not in your notes, but I just wanted to read it to you today. This is in Isaiah. This is God talking. See, I have written your name on the palms of my hand. Is that crazy? I mean, a lot of people have tattoos. Maybe you got your children's name tattooed. But on the God says, if you were to see my hands, they must be, you know, your name is on my, right? And Jesus calls him by name. Zacchaeus. And it says he jumps right down in excitement and joy. But not everybody is excited. Let's keep reading. But the people were displeased. He's gone to the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And I will, if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. I like Zacchaeus, he's processing still. If I've cheated, of course he knows he has. You know. I recently got a chance to see my foster daughter, our foster daughter, and her husband now, they have a little baby. His name is Jack. He's almost 2 years old. And they're trying to transition Jack out of diapers. That's a great thing for every parent, no more diapers. Get him through the diapers, you know. And so the problem is Jack still poops his pants. And so sometimes, you know, he doesn't have his diaper on, he poops his pants. He's not supposed to poop his pants, you know. And so she was telling me that the problem, now here's the problem, of course, when you poop your pants, you're completely given away by the smell. So she said sometimes she'll say to Jack, she can smell it, and she'll say, Jack, did you poop your pants? And he goes, no. You know, and she can smell, you know, the poop. And so she goes over and she gets him. And this is how crazy, she told me, she said, this is how crazy it is. She goes, as I'm changing him, because he doesn't have a diaper on, so that's not much fun. You know, she's changing him. She'll say, Jack, remember, you use the bathroom now. You're not supposed to poop your pants. And he says he will still say, as she's cleaning the poop, scraping it off his butt, he'll still say, I didn't poop my pants. And she said she'll hold up the poop and say, Jack, look at the poop. And he'll actually say, that's not my poop. We all know, though, don't we? We all know. I mean, he's just starting to get to know Jesus, and Jesus doesn't correct him and say, Zacchaeus, come on, you've been ripping these people off forever. Of course you've been stealing. He lets him process. Zacchaeus says, I'm getting there. But we all know what's eating us. What's eating you? What's eating you? Maybe what's eating you doesn't have anything to do with a mistake or sin. Maybe something with God. You're like, God, I'm just not okay with how you're making my life turn out here, and it's bothering me. What's eating you? What's going on inside? What's going on inside? And, of course, you know, they see Jesus come alongside Zacchaeus, and they're at his house, and they call him a notorious sinner. You know, what a label to have. You know, Jesus, don't help this guy. Not that guy, Jesus. I mean, you know, he's a notorious sinner. I keep thinking of that rapper guy, Biggie. I said, notorious sinner. You look in the dictionary, Jesus, and you'll see, you know, Zacchaeus' picture there, like he's a sinner. You know, he really has a lot of poop in his life. Are you carrying any labels? Is there anybody you work with in your family and you've got them labeled? They're notorious. The notorious divorcee. Notorious person that went bankrupt. Notorious person that lost their virginity as an early teen, you know, whatever. But they're labeled in your family, or you're labeled in your family. They're the notorious one. You know, they're the one that everybody knows. Is there anybody that you think doesn't deserve God's help because of something they've done? Or maybe, like today, you come here today and you can't approach God because you feel like, I don't deserve his help. Or maybe there's just a certain area. You can go to God about all things, sing songs, you come in and everything, but there's this one area of your life. It really bugs you. It bothers you. But you can't approach God in that area of your life because you're notorious there. You're like, that's the one place. You just can't go to him in that area. You know, you and him can't talk about that, you know. And don't help that guy. Let me just get something straight for you. There's always going to be people that want to keep you down. They label you with something in your past, and no matter what God's doing in your life, no matter how you try to change, no matter how long you're different, they will never let you off the mat. To them, you're notorious. They're never going to change. Don't even try to get them to change their ideas about you because they're not gonna. These people, they don't even see what's going on. They can't even see what Jesus is doing. They can't get any of it. They're like, oh, that guy doesn't deserve God's help. You know, but if you knew all the stuff that he's done, see, there's a problem. And Zacchaeus, he's got a lot of stuff that's bothering him, but one of the things that he's struggling with is nobody likes me, nobody believes in me, nobody thinks anything good can happen for me. There will always be people in your life that will try to keep you down. They will be on the sidelines. And even when God intervenes, they'll say, God, don't help them. They don't deserve it. Now look at Jesus' response, because this is what's so awesome. Jesus will have my back when everyone else won't. Look what Jesus does. Jesus told him, this shows that salvation has come to this home today. This man was one of the lost sons of Abraham, and I, the Messiah, have come to search for and to save such souls as his. Jesus said, I can see things that you can't see because I haven't labeled him. I can believe he's going to do stuff that you can't believe he's going to do because he's not notorious to me. It's almost like Jesus says to the whole crowd, wouldn't that have been awesome? I mean, can you imagine Zacchaeus? I mean, he just wanted to get a look at Jesus. People come here every Sunday, and they're just hoping to kind of catch a glimpse of Jesus, and then at some point in the service, it'll be overwhelming for them. So many people tell me, so they'll say, I don't know why, I cried when I went to church. I don't know what came over me. And God ends up being a lot more than they thought, and he cares about them a lot more than they ever dreamed. And they're not sure what to do about it. And can you imagine Zacchaeus? I just wanted to take a look. I mean, I didn't even think he'd stop, and now he's at my house, and the spotlight is on, the hot seat is on. What is Jesus going to say? And Jesus says to everybody, you may not believe in him, but I do. You may not think that he's going to change, but I do. And here's why. Everything's going to be different for him now and better, because I'm here now, says the Lord. Zacchaeus is going to pull all of this off because he has me. What's bothering you? It's eating away at you. You daydream about it. You push it aside. Whatever. I mean, even rich people can't buy some solution. Maybe today's the day to just go to Jesus and just say, you know, bugging me too long. I don't want it anymore. It could be your sycamore fig tree moment. And maybe you would find out that amongst all the notorious stuff and the labels and what people say and everything else, that you'll get another chance and that he'll help you. Now, a couple of practical things to write in your notes. Number one, the unexpected does happen. Zacchaeus isn't expecting any of this stuff. He doesn't think any of it can happen. He's probably blown away and shocked that any of it does happen. And I wanted to read this to you. A nurse on a pediatric ward, before listening to a little boy's chest, plugged the stethoscope in his ears and let him listen to his own heart. Gently, she tucked the stethoscope in the four-year-old's ears, his name was David, and placed the disc over his heart. "Listen," she said. What do you think that is?" He paused and then looked up in amazement. Then his face broke into a smile and he said, "Is that Jesus knocking?" And I thought, what a great picture. Maybe you've heard this said before, and I think I've said it, and I'll probably say it again. Someone will say, you have to invite Jesus into your heart. You need to invite Jesus into your life, and that's really true. But do you notice in this story, Jesus invites himself into Zacchaeus' life. He knocks. He says, I'm knocking. Would you answer? And a lot of times when I'm in that spot and I know Jesus is wanting to invite himself in, I'm afraid he's going to take something away from me. He's going to make my life hard. It's going to be very, very difficult. He's going to take all my fun away, whatever it is. You know, it's like, I don't want to open that door because I'm just not confident. You know, it's like what I expect, you know, the change that he's going to ask me to make is going to be so difficult. I don't see a story like this happening. And yet, here's Zacchaeus. He didn't want to be a bitter, conscious, stricken, old, greedy, rich man. Obviously, he wanted to be generous, and he wanted to be conscience-free. Jesus is knocking, maybe right at the door at what's bothering you most. And then number two, write in your notes, the unchangeable can change. The unchangeable can change. Everybody sees who Zacchaeus is, and they have him labeled, and they sort of have him categorized, except for God. I don't know what label you're wearing. I don't know. I wanted to ask this question. Let's just play a game. You know, you found the genie in the bottle. And out he comes, you know. He's a cheap genie. He just gives you one wish. What would you wish for? If you could change anything in your life, and I know it's kind of weird to mix in a genie in church, but go with me. So if you could change, because here's the crazy thing. Sometimes when we think of God, we don't even give him the credit of being as powerful as genie of the lamp. But if there was one change, what would it be? Here's Zacchaeus. Got all the money, big house. I'm sure he looked at his life and said, I have been the worst Jewish guy ever. I mean, he's Jewish. He's raised Jewish. That's a huge national heritage. And he's probably thinking, I haven't been to church in years. I've been ripping off my own people. Nobody in my family will have. I haven't followed any of the rules. I mean, I am a mess. He's probably thinking, there's no way I could ever get back. What's the biggest change you'd like to see happen? Now, here's the bottom line, and write it in your notes. God is looking for ways to help us. And I want to read this last section. Jesus told him, this shows that salvation has come to this home today. This man was one of the lost sons of Abraham. Even though it's dark, circle that. Lost sons of Abraham. And I, the Messiah, have come in search for to save such souls as his. Now here's what's crazy. He calls him, and not by coincidence, a son of Abraham. Abraham, Jewish people believe in their genealogy, Abraham started the entire Jewish race. Here's a guy that's standing before God. He's saying, I've been the worst Jewish person. So for us, it'd be, I've been the worst employee. I've been the worst husband. I've been the worst kid. I've been the worst student. I've been the worst wife. I've been the worst child to my parents. I mean, that's where he's at. He's like, when it comes to being Jewish, you couldn't be any worse than me. And then Jesus says to him, you're a son of Abraham. Oh, I know you've been lost. He like restores the very thing that Zacchaeus thought he would never have back. I'll never be okay with my parents again. I'll never be a good brother. My sister will never give me another chance to be a good brother. My boss hates me. I'll never be a good employee. I mean, that's where he's at. He's like the thing that's most important. He's completely jacked up. And Jesus calls him a son of Abraham. And he tells him he's lost. Notice he doesn't say bad or evil. He says, I understand you got lost. It's like when I take the wrong exit off the freeway. Even though my wife tells me not to, I take the wrong one. And I just, you know, next thing you know, you're going the wrong direction. I want to be a great husband, but I'm going the wrong direction. I want to lose weight and get in shape, but I went on vacation and went the wrong direction. You know, I want to get close to God and summer happened, whatever it is. It's like you had a direction you were going in life, and then you take the wrong exit, and the next thing you're lost. You're like, gosh, how do I get back? And Jesus says, I understand you were lost, but now you're found. I'm looking for people just like you. What's eating at you? Here's the great news. You're just lost then. And it's people just like you that Jesus has come to find.